So I wanted to speak about title disregarding QT title. The issue is Shemen Gozel, whether you can use Shemen Gozel or not to light. Now, it does seem far-fetched to us a little bit. I mean, the Mishavur brings over here the first thing we I have the Alachi, it's a Shemen Gozel Tzachiyun, it comes from the Chanukah, it brings a Tshuva Shalom Meshiv, and so on. That's it. So it does seem to us kind of far-fetched. Person would steal shemen to be Madaka Menorah. I guess the Baditcher would say, what a wonderful Klal Yisrael, that people, they'll even steal in order to light Menorah. But Al-Kapanim, that case itself seems far-fetched. But there are cases that are not at all far-fetched. For instance, let's take an example. Two boys in a dormitory, and each one bought a packet of oil to use, and they mix it up. They all look alike, basically, and Ruvei took Shimon, Shimon took Ruiz. The fact that it doesn't mind, it's still Gzela. I mean, there might not be an Aveira, but certainly he's not Yotze. Or let's say they actually were different and he realizes that he took the wrong package and his friend is on the road and he doesn't even realize it yet, so he can't be Moichel. So that's one example where you would have a Gozel, Bizman Azeh. A second one would be, let's say, not Gzela as much as something that's not... Sit somewhere in the back, please. Somewhere where you would have a something that's not yours, but it's not stolen. For instance, you came in very late, and someone says, here, use this. Halachically, you're allowed to use it, but it's not yours. So we might not have stolen, but something that's not yours. So you have somebody telling you, okay, halachically, if you didn't make a kinyan, it's not yours, and therefore, would that be a problem? There's a third fascinating case brought in a early tshuva sefer called Shara Ephraim, not the famous Shara Ephraim, who's a Ephraim Magolis, but there was a Ephraim HaKohen 400 years ago, and he had the following shaila. I mean, today we're spoiled. We have plenty of stuff, and we throw everything out. But this is what happened. A woman was going to saute maybe latkes, maybe blintzes, with butter. And she starts frying the butter, and she realizes it's a fellatio pan. Okay, it's a fellatio pan, so now the butter is asa b'hanah. So, okay, you can't use it, but you don't want to throw it out. In the old days, people, every penny was a penny, and everything costed money, and it was expensive and difficult to attain. So she has a great idea. How about using it for Hanukkah candles? So Isuri Hanor itself, we have a cloud, mitzvahs lav lehenas nitnu, and it would possibly not be... a problem of Issa Hanah, and let's use it. However, there's a hitch. Things that are Asir Hanah have the property of not belonging to you. It is one of the rules of Issa Hanah that it does not, it's ownerless. Besides the fact that it's useless, it's ownerless, even if you could find a use for it. I don't want to go off tangent, but that's the halacha. So we have a third case of something that's not yours. So let's go back to the original issue of Gozel, and let's try to define what the problems are, and then we'll try to look into the halacha of it and see somebody's sides. If I have a stolen chafetz, what are the problems with using it for any mitzvah? So let's take a look at the first Ma'ariv Makom that we have, is the Gemara in Sukkah. So the source for all problems is a Gemara in Lulav HaGozel, quite a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says that Lulav HaGozel is a problem both on the first Ayantiv and on the other day's Yantiv. So the Gemara has a bottom line of two possible problems with Lulav HaGozel. One possible problem is that it doesn't belong to you, and in those places where you need something to belong to you, you can't be yotze with it. It wouldn't only be guzzle, it would be borrowed. That's why with a lulav we go through all sorts of contortions. We matan of sahachse. It's not yours, and the Torah required lachem. So the first possible problem with anything stolen is lachem. One, two. We have the other days. The Gemara says we have a concept called mitzvah ba'avera, which means to do a mitzvah where the only way that the mitzvah is happening is through an avera, renders it unfit. So the second day, if you pick up a lulav gazel, so you're taking it as a lulav, is at the price of stealing it from somebody. So that would be a problem of mitzvah b'avera. So the two possible halachic issues with something stolen are, one, it's not yours, and if you need lachem, two, there's a special, specific problem of mitzvah b'avera. We'll have to consider both of those issues, if they exist and how they exist, in Hadlokas Neiros. That's sort of the point of it. Some bits and pieces of information. The word mitzvah b'avera has certain klolim. It has to be at the exact same instant that you're doing the avera. If you had to do an avera to get to the mitzvah, that is that's not a solo mitzvah avera. One point. Another point of information: whether or not you yotze with mitzvah avera, it's obviously improper. In other words, it's not meant to sanction it doing an avera. It's called maos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly doesn't want it. The question is, can you light a second time with a bracha? Were you yotze b'di eved, even though you did something despicable or not? Those are two separate issues. The Gemara in different places speaks about something through an avera being mos, and it's certainly not appropriate. You can't make a bracha on it. But the question is, on a technical level, were you yotze? And so let's go back to an innocent case. You switched the oil with your roommate, and you lit it. Do you have to relight again or not? Were you yotze or not? So the two things to consider are lachem and mitzvah b'avera. So let's ask ourselves, let's look at the lachem issue. Let's look at each one of the two. And get it. First thing is there an issue of lachem or not? First glance, one would say no. Lachem is a pasuk. It applies wherever. In other words, the rule is, if you need the Torah to make a condition about something, then it's only those places where specifically mentioned. Lachem is mentioned once, twice. There are not many mitzvahs that you need lachem. So the fact that it's mentioned in lulav is fine. In sukkah, there's no problem with lachem. So you can eat anybody else's sukkah, not a problem. Tzitzis has to be lachem, and that's why a talus that you borrow, you don't make a brach on it, you take it again, matanos achse. But there are by far fewer mitzvahs that have the lachem requirement than there are the mitzvahs that don't have. So one would have to say the default setting for a mitzvah is it doesn't require lachem. We need to find a pasuk or something, and so as on the count of lachem, one would say, what's the problem? So let's take a look if that's true or not, and let's try to ponder it a bit. Let's take a look at the next page. So, at first glance, without having any information, one would naturally say there is no problem of lachem. You don't need lachem. Where does it say you need lachem? In Hanukkah, it's a Rabbanan, there's no pasuk for sure, and so on. So there are going to be two major sources that seem to indicate that you need lachem, which is a problem. The first one is a Gemara in Shabbos. Omer Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Achsonoi chay b'ner Chanukah. Achsonoi means someone who's a boarder. It means not a full guest. A full guest, somebody who is eating and sleeping in your house is a member of the household. That means he's a household member. Achsonoi means he has a room that he is renting or using. And so on the one hand, it's considered as having a house. It's sort of, if a person, Rahman San, is homeless, he has no chiyuv hadlokas neiros. You can't light anywhere except for a home. So being in somebody else's house as an achsanoi makes you chayiv in Lag Nes Chanukah. On the other hand, you're not enough of a member of the household till you don't eat there also, and therefore you're chayiv, and you got an issue. Achsanoi chayiv Nes Chanukah. Rav Zeir. So Rav Zeir said, how did I deal with this? Rav Zeir, I guess, used to travel either for business or for learning or something or other. May reish ke avina beirav, when I would come to the Rav's house, mishtatafna befriti behadi ushpiza. I would give a few coins as a shtatfus with the host. Basid in a sivi itza, after I got married, Amina, I said, she's lying in our real house, and once you have your own home, that's the real house, and the house that you're staying at is certainly seen as being subordinate, and you eat with your wife's lock and snares. But let's go back before. What in the world is he doing when he pays for somebody oil, which we still do today, if you don't need lechem? In other words, if you want to make somebody a shliach light for you, shlichus is for free. You say, could you please do this for me or that? Could make bikas chametz. If you don't pay the guy, you don't pay the guy. I mean, if he's willing to do it, then it's fine. That's shlichus. What is this hishtatfus in the oil over here? So it would seem to indicate that there is a concept of lechem. And, you know, owning the oil is important for whatever reason. That's one source. The second source is a set of Rishonim on a Gemara in Psachim. And they all say things that are very similar. And let's see what the Gemara... The Gemara in Psachim speaks about what bracha to make on Bdikas Chametz. The issue is between Al and Le. And the Gemara notices that there are some brachas that we make al, and some brachas we make le. And the question is, when do you say which? And the Gemara gives us some indication. The Rishonim all go through all the brachas, and they list the different brachas, and they have questions from different brachas. And man, this is a place where Rishonim talk about the Nuscha Bracha. And the Gemara makes one of the primary distinctions between Al and Le is, do you need a shliach to do it? Do you need to do it yourself? Or can someone else do it? The word Le implies that you have to do it. For instance, tefillin. Only you can put on tefillin yourself. So you say Le Honiach tefillin, because it means to do the act. The mitzvah is to do the maisa, and only you can do it. You can't have someone else, can't be on someone else's body. So therefore, the le is appropriate. Whenever something can be done, for instance, mila, the Gemara says, is this the father does, someone else does it? Al hamila, because someone else is doing it. Al bedin, the father is the one who has the primary obligation, but the mitzvah is fulfilled just as well whoever does it. It's or shchita. If you shecht someone else's behema, it's the shchita's kasha. So the Gemara says that the primary distinction between al and le is the mitzvah to do, and the other lamed means to do. Or the mitzvah is that it be done. Al means that it take place. Putting down Erev, things of that nature. So the Ran, that's the first piece over here, marked off the Ran. Umir ikal emedek bai kolola. Do adlokas ner chanukah, shev shasat eshliach. You can do it through a shliach. Vafila hachim yvarchala lehadlik. Veikal emeima, the kiv and davine perik mamad likin. Being that you must participate and it has to be yours, so that means you must have yours, therefore the bracha is appropriately lehadlik. So even though someone else can do the act of lehadlik, but there's an element here that you must do it. That's what the Ran says, which seems to say it seems the clearest source that there's a din of lachem, which runs counter to our intuition and would make it a problem. The Ramban and Rabbeinu David say things that are similar. Now, the Ramban is a bit cryptic, not clear if his girsa is right or not. Rabbeinu David was a Talmud of Ramban. It's actually a Rishon that was uncovered, I don't know, 30 years ago maybe? And it's an incredible find because he's a Talmud Ramban, and a lot of what Ramban says cryptically, Ramban tends to write very short and doesn't explain himself well. He does explain, and it's a remarkably useful Rishon on Pesachim. So let's see what Ramban says. Vim Toma, same question as Ran. So Ramban says something. I don't know, either gears us off. Yesh lanu lomar, shiny hosam, sheha hadloka mitzvah atzmahi. The hadloka is his own mitzvah. She oisa mitzvah. The eitem berg madlikin tzorch shatufi beprit vineitzel b'shal atzmai. So I don't know if the gears is something is not, doesn't, it doesn't read. In Hebrew, it's not reading. We definitely get the point that he's says like the Ran over here. That's quite clear. He brings the Gemara that you have to mishtatif. It's quite clear that he means the same point. What does he mean with those three or four words? It's cryptic. Let's take a look in Rabbeinu David, who's more user-friendly, and you see clearly he's coming from there. V'yesh Loma, he asked in the first two or three lines, he asked the same question, basically. V'yesh Loma, in the third line, Shemitzus ner chaneke vaday ein al yidei shliach. Shem kone odom psilois ushmonim. V'hidlik b'shvil chaveroi, vaday le osa klum, v'ein eroi le vorech klal. Al k'mishayach tfilos ad v'tzis v'shvil chaveroi. A person must at least buy. If a person didn't even buy the shemen or the psilois, then yat yoitze. So the bracha is on the setting up the oil and the wicks, either by ownership or by physics setting up, and so on and so forth. So Rabbeinu David also seems to say, and we're assuming this is what Ramban is saying, one way or another, that the ownership of the oil and the wicks is very important. Which would make us feel that there is a inyan of lachem. So, basically, having seen these rishonim here, it seems as if there's a lachem, and you have to own it. Something that's not posh at all, but that's on count one. Count two. Hold on. Yes, please.
So. Ownership itself, you can have a shliach, you can have a zachan adam shalom b'fanav, and so understand that as a shlichos. So theoretically, I could still appoint a shliach to be lighting for me. He'll be kone the oil for me. He'll be kone the light for me. He'll do the mitzvah for me.
Right.
So we should not use a lamed. We should do the whole mitzvah can be done by the shliach.
So I guess the point of the le is there's some element of personal obligation, at least. The ownership of it, there's something of me in it, not the act, but the ownership, as opposed to shechita, which really, if anybody walked in and just shechted it, the person has no connection to it whatsoever. So the lamed is justified, maybe not on the basis of doing the act, but it's there's something personal about the obligation. That's how I would think that. Okay. The next one is the Rosh, who speaks about Lachem. This is in Rosh Hashanah. He speaks about a shofar. That's whether you need Lachem or not. V'chein b'shofar, im toka b'shofar gozl yotza, the last three lines of that Rosh. V'hochi isa b'yoshalmi, Ma bein lulav l'shayfa, amravasi belulav k'siva l'kachtem l'chem, mishalachem, brom Hachat Yom Trua Yelachem Mikol Makom. In other words, the Yerushalmi says that the Lachem in Lulav defines the word of defines Lakatam Lachem. In Shofa, since the Lachem is Yelachem, in other words, it's not defining the act. It means you are Yoitza. So the sense of the pasuk is you will have a Tkiya Shofa. You don't have to be. It doesn't have to be your shofar. The implication of the Rosh sounds that you need to have a very specific pasuk of lachem. Where do you have that in Chanukah? You see that even shofar, which has the word lachem, but since the word lachem is slightly different, we don't have it. So lachem is certainly not something that's used in the ordinary. So it raises back a question: where are all these Rishonim coming from? They're saying it based on how the brach is, but where does it come from? You see, in the rices, unless the Torah refers says lachem, there's no such halacha. Okay, two more. So that's as far as the. So we have sort of a bit of a conundrum in terms of how do we deal with the lachem issue. We'll come back to it soon. And now, what about the issue of mitzvah babavera? So we have two Gemaras here. We have a Gemara and a Rambam. It says as follows. Amar b'shum alev b'shum b'kapara. Kol mara v'reach em b'mishum me'ila. And then the Gemara says, Elam Rav Papa, skip down a few lines. Kol umara em b'mishum me'ila lefi she'em b'hem mamish. V'reach l'achash atal timrosa em b'shum me'ila hob nasa mitzvasei. So the Gemara says over here that things that are not substantial, things that are not material, you don't have me'ila on it. Me'ila is when you steal from Hegdish. There's going to be an iser of me'ila. The dinim of me'ila are very, very similar to the dinim of gzela. You know, it's a fairly similar process. The only distinction is if you use something, it's also me'ila, but anything that you take from Hegdish is me'ila. The amount of taking is also shava pruta. It's a gzela. It's a very chomedic form of gzela with its own halachas. That din is by it doesn't apply to things that are not of substance. So let's give an example. Imagine that I am passing by an opera singer's house. We'll make it male, so no kolisha problem. And this person charges, I don't know, he charges tens of thousands of dollars for a performance. And I sneak in to the back somewhere. I sneak into the behind. And I hear him singing, practicing. So there might be actually some issue of asagas gevul in terms of being mekapeh panasa, but there's no gzela. You can't, if somebody has these magnificent paintings that he charges, who knows what, to watch it, to see it. I should not see it without paying, but if I do see it, I don't order money. Things that have no substance, that are not objects taken, so you can, and this is actually one of the issues with what we call not copyright, but things of when you steal things that are not of a material nature, halachically gzela is a hard one. The two issues are hasagas gevul, where this becomes a way. If let's say you copy somebody's records, CDs or records, whatever, you're taking away. That's called hasagas gevul. That's one issue. And the second issue, if you'll notice in all the old sfarim, most haskamis are not that the sefer is wonderful, but a cherem on anybody to publish it for the next 10 years, 25 years, whatever it is, to be able to allow for intellectual property to flourish, because nobody's going to make any books or recordings if they'll take it away. But there's no real gzela on it. So over here, what about over here? So let's take a look at the next Rambam. Shofa ha-gozel, she-toka bo-yotza, she'ena mitzvah ela b'shmir sakol afal pishal noga bo v'lo igbiya shemea yotza ve'em b'kol din gesel. So he says if you blew in a shofar that's gozel, since the mitzvah is the sound that emanates from it, that's not subject to stealing. The Rambam compares the two. Rambam says things that are not of substance, there is no gzela to it, and therefore it would not fall under the category of mitzvah b'aveira. So these two cases seem to indicate that there would be no mitzvah b'aveira. However, we just saw these rishonim here who say that you have to buy the oil. It has to be yours. So the mitzvah somehow includes the oil also. Now, maybe we will have a problem with mitzvah b'aveira because the oil is stolen and it has to be your oil. So it really, both issues hinge on this point. The Rishonim before seem to say that the oil has to be yours. And if that's true, then we have a din of lechem and we have a problem being yotzeg zula of mitzvah b'aveira. But the question is, does it mean what it says or not? So let's go back to our original point, which really addresses both issues. Where did this halach of lechem come from? By the oil. They ask, some Necharim deal with it, and they ask, if Megillah, if somebody stole a Megillah and read it, would anyone have a Haminat Yotze? Somebody, if you take someone else's Megillah, but I have some permission, and you use it, assuming that we don't say there's no Rishus, somebody has a big sign on his Megillah, don't use vouchers, and he uses it. He did wrong, but nobody would say that it's guzzle. So why is this different? So I'd like to offer two possible answers. One of them would maybe raise the issue that there would be a guzzle, and one would not. One possible pshat, I think, is as follows. The Rambam says, this is one of very counterintuitive halachas. When you light the candles, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, so there are two processes to it. One is you clean out all the old stuff that's left over, and you light it. So everybody imagines that the Kohen is the guy who lights it, and the staff, whoever they may be, cleans it out and does it. The maintenance staff. Zion, v'chein hadlokas haneiris k'shera bizarim. If a zar lit it, it's kosher. Lefikach, im hetev akoynes aneiris, as long as the kohen is the one who cleaned it out, and for that there was a pious, it's one of the piousim. Voitzion lechutz, mutal zar ladlikon. So it's the exact opposite. The setting up the shemen and the psila was the ikra avoda, and therefore that's only b'kohen, and it's only kosher b'kohen, it's not kosher bizar. Lighting it is kosher bizar. The Ravid argues whether it's chatchil or not. The Rambam says, mutal zar om avram, hiflik shama mutal zar ladikon. Rambam is really overdoing it when he says the zar is allowed to. Ela she'im hidlikon ksheres. It just means that if he did it, it's kosher. But be it as it may, in the mitzvah of adlokas neiris and v'samigdosh, the haskonas shemen and psila was, in many ways, the more important avoda. And there have been an infinite amount of drashas said at this point about how the sumera and the cleaning of the tzinoros and on about making the point over here, which is the more important one. But be it as it may, it would sort of din lochem over here by the shemen and the psila makes sense, at least, because since the hadlokas ner Hanukkah is an emulation of the hadlokah in the Beis HaMikdash, one would say that, yes, it has to be of a similar nature, which means that this is part of the mitzvah. If that's true, we would have the problem. There's a different pshat as to why you need to have the ner and the psilin and why you have to buy be mishtatev and so on. And this is something which, fascinatingly enough, I saw in two places. This one I didn't see, this point that I just made now. The other one I saw, Rav Soloveitchik has a piece on it, and he makes this point sort of as a milsa pshitasa. There's also an old sefer, somebody's been forgotten, but was very known in his generation, Zichron Yehosef. Rabbi Yosef Schaier Schwartz, He was one of the greatest Bekiyim that lived in the 1800s. He was his Bekiyus is phenomenal. He was known as Bekiyus. He was also, for those of you who've read Haskalah, he's the Vafsi of the infamous poem, whatever. And what he wrote a sefer Zichron Yehoshua Hosef. It is today a type of sefer that very few people use because you finish a tshuva, your mind is spinning with the amount of Mayrich Komos that he brings. It's incredible, incredible amount, and Mayrich tremendously. And the print is old and small and difficult to read. But he makes this point like kind of, he goes through a whole, he talks about this point about Shem and Gazel, and this is a point that he sort of says, Agavurcha. If you don't look for it, you missed it. The point is as follows. There's no Din Lechem. There's no Makar for Din Lechem. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But let's go back. There are three types of mitzvah, and we have to nuance it a little bit better. There's a type of mitzvah that there should be a mic on my roof. There should be a fence around my roof. I'm the one who should do it first, but if someone did it, the mitzvah is that it be done. That there be a mic around my roof, and if it's done, tough luck, it's there. And so on. Same thing with a milah. I have primary obligation to do it, but the mitzvah itself is that the child be mal, if somebody had kosher milah, shechita, all of those, the mitzvah really is the essence of the mitzvah is what happened, not who did it, and so on. One. There's the other extreme, like tefillin. Tefillin is me, my body, and that's it. Tefillin has to be on my body, and so on. That's the other extreme. But there's another type of mitzvah. Let's take a look by Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah is not that the house have neiros lit. It's not like a mezuzah. It's a personal obligation. But I don't need it. The question is, what makes this candle my candle? So if it's my oil and my wick, and I send somebody to light it, so I prepare it in my house at Hanukkah, and I say, I'm not going to be home. Reuven, could you go light it for me? That's perfectly fine. It's my menorah. If I'm the member of somebody else's household, I don't have an obligation. It's a din in a household. But let's say I'm an achsanoi, and I have a chiyuv, to light. So here I am. It's not my oil. It's not my wick. And this guy is lighting it because it's his house, his menorah. So what does it mean that I'm a yotze with him? What does it mean I'm making a shliach when he's doing it for himself anyway? The need to buy in the shemen and to be mishtatif is not because there's an intrinsic need to own some of it. It's because if I have a, in what way am I expressing that's mine? If I do the maisa, I do the maisa. If it's my oil, I'm a part of my oil, so that's why it's called mine. Without that, then in what way is it mine? Just because I said it's mine? The same thing. So over here, the need to own. So let's say it's my house, and I'm the only one who's chayav to do it, and I light it. Even if it won't be my oil and wick, it still is my hadlaka. So let's say. So let's go back to the case of stolen or borrowed or not by accident stolen. So I go to my house and I light it. It's my house. I'm lighting it. My house. I'm the one who's mechuyev. It's my by dint of the fact that I'm the only person who was chayavt it. So your other Rishonim, when they speak about the bracha, it means also, it doesn't mean that it's you have to own the oil. What they mean to say is, the mitzvah is a big picture, and I have to have some input in it, whether it's by doing the maisa or by owning the oil. They don't mean to say that you must always own the oil. If it's a situation where there's no other connection to me except by ownership, then I have to own. That's the case of Pruta. And that's what they mean from Mishtat to Pruta. What they're showing is that it's not enough that it be a mezuzah. If 100 people live in the house, even if they have no shaykh to each other, one mezuzah patters them. They don't have to all put mezuzahs. They don't have to put micahs. It's done. In Hanukkah, each person has an obligation. So we have 100 unaffiliated people living in this house, like a dormitory or something. So for everybody to be yotze with one person, in what way is he a shliach? He's doing it for himself. So you told him to be yotze me also. So he said yes. So what? In brachas, for instance, there's shomea ka'ona. You heard it, so it's as if you're bracha. Over here, you don't have that, and therefore that's why you need it for. So according to, so we've boiled down to two possible reasons why you need to, what the Ran means and what the Gemara means, really, that you need to have some ownership. I suggested a possibility that maybe since in Adlokas Neiris, the Iker is the Hatovas Neiris. So owning oil and the wicks would be an obligation. And in that case, one would have to own it. And if you lit with somebody else's oil or wicks, whether you knew it, didn't know it, you weren't Yotze, Chiddush, but that would be a kontra pshat. The other pshat of explaining the Gemara there, the one that we said over from Zichron Yosef and Rav Salvechik, and is that there is no etzim obligation of being a part in the oil and the wicks. It's only in the cases that a person has no other connection but that way. You need somehow to be expressed as the madlik of Neiris, as the Neiris. If it's so, where you're doing the act and it's your house, where Yirim Mechuyev, no question, even if it was not yours. And therefore, as long as that was the situation, you'd be yotze even if the oil had been not yours. There's actually one more case of oil that might not be yours. We spoke about Surah No about the butter, which is today not so common. But there is something that's very common today. It's in Eretz Yisrael, the halach is like this. We in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be mafish, trumas, and maestris. And you do it, or else it's not kosher, whatever heating, you have to do it. Maeser Rishon is not a problem, because basically a Zar is allowed to eat Maeser Rishon. And since no Levi can prove he's a Levi, even though I've gotten twice Maeser Rishon, it was a kilo, a roommate of mine in Yeshiva was Israeli, and he had a plantation of plums, so I got twice a kilo of plums as Maeser Rishon. But most people eat the Maeser Rishon because you can. The truma, we take off a little bit. But truma, you can't eat. You can't touch. We assume no kayin is tar today. And we assume it's all tummy. We assume everything's tummy. So one of the things you can do with that oil is use it for Hanukkah. And there's a whole sort of Shem HaSreifa. That also might be ownerless oil. That's talked about. The Shafai speaks about it. But those are the cases of ownerless. So over there, it's not so simple that it's ownerless, and that's not so partial. But the other cases where you accidentally mixed up with a roommate or somebody else, you took some, even not in a store. Let's take something simple. Imagine a store. There were two people bought oil, and one person picked up the box or put it down, and then you take it. So halachically, that might not be considered lachem. And certainly in a yeshiva setting, it's very possible. A guy takes from this box, the other box. So according to the first pshat we said, it might be a problem. According to the pshat that we said over from Zvi Yosef and Salvechik, it would not be a problem, because it's only if you're being mishtatif in somebody else, that's where you have that type of chiyuv. Okay, so just make sure your oil is yours, and we have no problems, and a prayer for Hanukkah.
Why can't I be mitzvah? Someone else is showing up.
So we don't have to. So today I assume that the takana was the oil and the wicks of that tub. That's my assumption. You're right. I could clean it out.
I mean, if you do that, maybe you shouldn't be buying.